dear Christian friends. All of us should have been exterminated from the moment of conception. If God would have given us a fair and speedy trial, we would all be burning in hell. And we are as guilty as hell. If the punishment for one sin is damnation in hell, what must have been the suffering of him who bore the sins not of one, but of all people who had lived, are living now, and will live? Under the horrible physical pain of the crown of thorns, whippings, and crucifixion, Jesus uttered no word of complaint. To be rejected by the church, condemned by the government, and forsaken by his people, all this he was ready to bear. But when his soul was made an offering for the payment of our sins, and when God put his total and complete wrath on his Son, Jesus Christ, Jesus uttered the painful cry from his parched and quivering lips, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus makes a sacrifice of his life to God. Jesus is damned and condemned because God put all of our sins on him. It is painful. It hurts. Our sins killed him. And by his resurrection, he gave us life. The heart-shattering news is that God has now come into a new relationship with sinners. And this relationship means that God no longer treats you as sinners. The wrath which all people have equally deserved has totally been rechanneled to Jesus Christ. God is now able to proclaim salvation by faith alone, because God has made an entire manifestation of his wrath in the person and work of his Son, Jesus Christ. God's wrath, which terrifies sinners and still haunts believers in their doubts, has become past tense and past event for all of us. Lives held in bondage by sin, Satan, and the fear of death are given the message of freedom, that there is now nothing more to fear from God. Regardless of the human horrors which we must all face in this life, none of these can be compared with the wrath of God, which is revealed from heaven against all unbelief. The human problems which shake us to the core and cause us to doubt the goodness and the love of God in our personal lives should not even be considered masks or shrouds covering God's wrath. In the bitter suffering and death of Jesus Christ, there has already been a revelation of God's wrath. The very corners of heaven were scoured, and the very essence of God himself was turned inside out, so that not a speck of wrath would be left. This wrath of God he let loose in the moment of the cross. The penalty for our sin was paid in full. That wrath involves more than our petty and unintentional sins. Rather, it was the wrath that God has over the very essence of our being, our very nature, by which we despise the things of God. This unrighteousness made us all God's enemies. In the moment of the cross, the horizons of heaven were unzipped, and the wrath of God was put upon Christ. There was the Lamb that was taken away, not some sins, but all sins. The sins of the whole human race, your sin and mine. Therefore, we take at face value what John says. God is love. God so loved the world that he gave. The news that God has unzipped the heavens of his wrath against sin is news that breaks down hell's doors and destroys its fortresses. It cracks open wide hearts calloused and encrusted with sins, and it gives every man, woman, and child a dimension which they could never imagine in their wildest dreams. We are declared innocent by faith is built only upon the foundation that God has overcome his wrath by himself and only by himself in the person and work of his Son, Jesus Christ. Since the wrath of God has been directed to Christ, the world is now once again permitted to fulfill the goals set for it by God. The creation is not some type of independent activity of God the Father, but it is directly and immediately related to the payment on the cross. Your birth is directly related to the payment made on the cross. Your baptism is directly related to the payment on the cross. The Lord's Supper is the cross given and shed for you. Our Father is hoping against hope that all people will come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, as your personal Lord, personal Savior. We are declared innocent by faith, and we are declared holy. And Jesus says that not a hair will fall from our heads without his will. This sounds trivial and of little importance, but it is a solemn promise that not a hair will fall from our heads. Reason does not comprehend this. And in this world, there is a contradiction that denies these very words. For a Christian loses not only one hair, but also life, goods, honor, and reputation. So that the saying is reversed and ought to read, not one hair will the Christian keep. He is so utterly destroyed, condemned, and troubled that not one hair remains standing. But Christ reverses this and declares that not one hair will be lost, much less life, goods, and honor. Our comfort lies in this, that we cling to these words and fortify them with examples when trials confront us. For if we believe and are sure of the freely offered mercy of God, we should not doubt that everything we do pleases God very much, and that he has numbered even the hairs of our head. If he cares that much, what dare or could I ever fear? For are we not the crown of his creation? But since God cares for and observes us so much and so diligently, and since he is so very close to us, what is there that could greatly disturb us or make us downcast? For this example teaches that he guards us and cares for us, not only when we are awake and at work, but even in our sleep, when we do nothing and do not even know that we are alive. Then he observes our dreams. He counts all the worries and sobs, even of those who are asleep. He counts not only the hairs of our head, but even our tears, and gathers them into a bottle. As the Psalms declare, you have kept count of my tossings. You put my tears in your bottle, and they are in your book. No little tear is shed in vain. It is recorded with large, mighty letters in heaven. Whose fault, therefore, is it that we are so wretchedly tormented and troubled? Who is to blame for our weakness of faith, hope, and the wretchedness of our flesh? Oh, slay me, dear Lord God. Am I worthy of having a God who is so careful that he guards me even during the night when I am sleeping and dreaming? Is it not sufficient for him to protect us and direct our steps while we are awake? Beyond this, he troubles himself even about our rest and our dreams. He is always about us. This certainly means that we have a caring God who guards us and does not permit a hair to fall from our head, a God who as surely has a record of every drop that falls from our eyes. If you cry, he has a golden basin and catches every tear. But whose tears does he gather? The tears of repentant sinners. Who gathers them? God, the creator of all things in Jesus Christ. This, therefore, should often be reflected on, to awaken faith, hope, and love in us. Since we have the word, the examples, and the proper knowledge of the boundless goodness of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Behold your God. Amen.